Hello, everyone. This is Louis Patron bringing you Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. Obviously, I am doing
Love
this show
Hope
from
Radio.
West Florida. Interestingly, you who are listening aren't listening just from the Florida Keys. This show is available and can be heard at this moment via the internet worldwide. It's being heard right now in Papua New Guinea, Jakarta, Indonesia, Rome, Italy, Cedar Rapids, Iowa. It's being heard all over. And it's amazing, absolutely amazing. I started this show 7 weeks ago. I had 8 people listen to me the first night. 2 weeks ago, I was up to 1,200 listeners. This past week, I was just under 1,800. I am absolutely amazed and impressed that so many people are listening. I enjoy doing this, and I'm glad you like it so much that you will listen. This is a talk show, however, and very few people call in to talk with me. All of you who are listening, someone must have some questions, might disagree with me, want to argue a bit, or just share your opinion. Or perhaps this will not end up being a talk show. It'll be just Louis sitting back here and pontificating and telling you what I think. Whatever way it works out, your judgment prevails. I am enjoying doing the show, and the numbers indicate that you are enjoying listening to me. Okay, what are we going to talk about tonight? There's a ton of things. It's some new things I found. Number one, I want to talk about why is Obama hated so much. That's the word to use, hate. I'd like also to talk about the fact we don't have any middle class any longer, and Afghanistan this past week, which is really putting to us badly cards out there. Anheuser-Busch and watering down their beer. Things like Syracuse basketball, the Pope, whatever you like. And I've got a couple of new things I'm going to throw in here on a waste of money by the federal government. This is call-in again. If you'd like to call in, the number's on your screen. It's 646-478-5731, 646-478-5731. Please call in if you are so inclined. If you are not, that's life. Now, Obama. I've lived a little while. I'm 77 years old. I've lived during the time in office of several presidents. Three presidents prior to Obama, in my recollection, got beat up a bit. Truman, Johnson, and Clinton. What's involved when a president gets beat up, or any person of notoriety or prominence, in my opinion, is respect. There seems to be a lack of respect in this country for our president. That's obvious. Not by everyone, but probably by half of the population. And there seems to be a lack of respect for anyone who is in some sort of a leadership position. What's happened over the last 20, 30 years, I'm not sure, but respect's gone out the window. Be that as it may, when Truman was disliked, he was disliked not by the people, but he was disliked by congressmen. And they defecated on him, but not as bad as they defecate on our present President Obama. You know, when a president, Truman, Johnson, Clinton, was giving a State of the Union address in the halls of Congress, nationally televised to 60 million people worldwide, a Republican congressman, these were all Democrats as I think of it, didn't shout out, "You're a liar," when the president made a statement, as occurred with one of Obama's presentations. I look at John Boehner, Speaker of the House, leader of the Republicans in the House, and I got to tell you something. He looks like a thug. He talks like a thug. He talks like a dock worker. He's got an evil streak in him, that man. It's the only way I can describe it. He's got that smirk on his face, and he says nasty things, has nasty innuendos about a man he's supposed to be dealing with also. And he wonders why the president can't talk to him. And I also sometimes wonder why the president can't talk in reverse. But be that as it may, these guys, no respect. So Truman had the respect of the people. He didn't have it with the congressmen, but they didn't talk about it this way. Then came Johnson. Johnson was president during one of the worst times emotionally, the worst time emotionally I've ever seen in this country, the Vietnam War. It was so bad, he withdrew from running for election again. He says, I will not be a candidate. The war would rip this country apart, rip the guts out of this country. People were against it. I can recall, like, I'm a lawyer now. I'm in my 35, 45-year frame, I think. People, no, a little younger, about 35. I remember people marching in the streets in my little hometown of Utica. Doctors, lawyers, prominent businessmen, not just college kids. It was everybody who was against the war. And they were protesting the war with signs and everything else. But I don't recall anyone speaking poorly of the president himself. There was always respect for that position. Then came Clinton. I mean, Clinton had a sexual interlude. He got caught. No former president who might have done that did get caught. He was impeached. They brought up impeachment proceedings, to state it correctly. Everyone was at his throat on the Republican side. My God, it was terrible. But yet, you didn't hear the kind of talk about Clinton that you hear today concerning Obama. Respect still existed for the office of the presidency. In fact, if you recall, Clinton in the second term, when the Congress and the Senate were both against him, got more legislation signed into law than in his previous term. He was able to do business with the enemy. I mean, he's sitting down in his office. Congress is deciding his legislation, their bills, at the same time that every day they've got to step into another place, the Senate of the United States, for the trial, the impeachment trial. But yet there was respect for the office. The respect doesn't exist for Obama today. And why do I think this is so? I wish somebody called me 646-478-5731 because I'm going to call it like I see it. I think there are two reasons why people hate Obama, dislike him vehemently, which is just as bad. One is because he's colored. He is a man of color. He is half black, half white. Everyone forgets it's half white. In any event, he is a man of color. And I think that there are people in this country who cannot tolerate a person of color having achieved such a high position in the United States. Rather than be a thing of joy, I look at it as this country is doing great to elect a black president. Many people do not feel that way, especially the Southern Belt, especially middle-aged Republicans, white Republicans, middle-aged white Republicans don't seem to favor our president. And they dislike him. I've never seen anything like this dislike, this hatred. What they forget, maybe they don't, maybe they realize that right now in this country, more than half the people are of tan color. By that I mean black, I mean Cuban, Mexican, Hispanic, Latino, Asiatic. They now are in the majority, which means to me that in 20 years, we are going to have another president of color. He may not be black or half black. He may be Latino, Hispanic. I don't know. But it's going to come again because their numbers are growing while the white population is diminishing. And I'm going to say something else. Come 50, 60 years from now, I'm going to be long gone. But many people, this won't be a problem, folks, because I think most people are going to be tan. There's going to be intermarriage. There is, between all the groups I mentioned. Intermarriage is inevitable. Everyone's going to be tan. Everyone's going to say, what the hell? This means nothing. It won't even be an issue. It will not be an issue. All right, someone's calling in here, 305-304-4910. Let's give it a shot. Hello, how are you?
Hello, it's Patty.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Who are you? Just give me your first name.
It's Patty.
Who?
From Bocce.
Patty.
Patty Crimmins.
I know. Now, this Patty, I hope you can hear it clearly. I'm having a little trouble hearing you, Patty. This woman is on top of everything politically in this world, ethically also. And she's a diehard liberal. I've got to say this with all due respect. What do you got to tell me, Patty?
Well, you know, you're opening a conversation here about why there doesn't seem to be respect for the presidency.
Patty, I can't hear you. You keep breaking up.
Is that better? Is that better? Let me go outside.
Okay.
Because I have a metal roof. I have a feeling you have to hear me outside. Is that better?
Probably.
Can you hear me better?
Better, yes. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. I'm outside. I have a metal roof on my apartment.
Go ahead. Start all over. I want to hear you.
Okay. Is that better?
Yes. Very good. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Well, this goes back quite a bit why the respect for the presidency isn't there. I think partly it's because of what Richard Nixon did, and it kind of put a dent, shall we say, in the armor of the presidency. When he lied to the American public and disgraced the office and had to leave. And then after that, it was like they only seemed to, it seems to me that only Republicans got the respect that they deserved. Carter didn't get any respect. They made fun of him left and right. Then, of course, we got St. Ronnie. And my God, I mean, there are people that want to see him up on Mount Rushmore. Then we have Clinton and the blithering started.
I'm losing you again, Patty. I hate this. I'm losing you. I want to hear your words.
Okay.
Turn around, see if it comes through better.
So basically, I think, I mean, this has taken, you know, a couple of sessions to get to this point.
Patty, my dear. Patty, I can't hear you at all. And I think if I can't hear you, other people can't hear you. Your voice is breaking up badly. Call back. Try it again. Walk around the block or something. Okay, I can't get you. I want to hear from you again, but thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Okay, here we are. Poor Patty. Patty's a brilliant woman. She writes on Facebook every day some political opinion. I'm a liberal at heart, but I don't agree with everything she believes. She's a little bit way out, but that's the way people are. But she's intelligent, and she knows what the hell's going on. I'm sorry we couldn't hear her. The other reason, because he's black, they don't like him. That's my opinion. The other reason is, let me finish the black episode. I think the white people who dislike him in this country do so because they're afraid that what they have done to what has been done by the white man in this country, the blacks in the past, the blacks are going to do to the white man when they get in power, full power, not just one office like the presidency. You know, it's the old story, what goes around comes around. And who knows? I don't know. Maybe a proper fear. But that could be motivating them. All I know is there's a group of people in this country that dislike him because he's black, and I think that is terrible. Also, I think corporate America is responsible. Why? They would hate anyone who's a Democrat and is president of the United States. They only want Republican presidents. That's why they give so much money, corporate America, to these Republican candidates. And, you know, they're getting their people in office. They're going to be solidified in the House of Representatives for a long time because of the gerrymandering. What they're trying to do, they've been trying to do for 30 years. They're succeeding now in controlling things. The Supreme Court, some of those decisions are wild that come out of the conservative Supreme Court of the United States. So they want them out. On the other hand, I had someone tell me, because I wrote about this, spoke about it on my TV show this week, I had someone tell me that, no, it isn't the black issue. No, it isn't corporate America. It's because the president is a centrist. He's making government grow. Well, even if he's making government grow, is it right to be disrespectful to him? You could say, I disagree with you. You should do this, this, and this. But not to say nasty things. So that's what I think the issue is and the answers are. And tell you something interesting that I read today. I came up with two things today that at the last minute, and I'm going to toss them in there. We need money in this country. We know this. We have been spending money foolishly. We've got to look. We've got to cut back. We've got to look where we're spending our dough. We've got to tighten our belts. Everyone knows this. Okay. Will you tell me why the National Institute of Health, which, by the way, is the National Institute for the National Health, which is an agency of the United States government. It is part of the United States Department of Health and Human Services, just provided to two or three groups a total of $1.5 million, $1.5 million to conduct a study. And do you know what the study is? Why, it has to do with obesity. Why are 75% of the women of the lesbians? Why are 75% of the lesbians obese and gay men are not? I don't even think that's an issue that should be $1.5 million. I mean, I would assume, I live in Key West, we're one human family here. We have all kinds of people. If lesbian women are heavier, and if they think about it, they may be. But they're content with themselves. They're happy with their lives. They're happy. That's when they're content. They probably eat too much. The men, they're on edge all the time. They've got to look good so they can get a date or they can get someone. And those are the two reasons, nothing else. It's not what they eat or their lifestyle. But isn't it crazy to spend $1.5 million to find out why 75% of the lesbians in this country are obese, whereas gay males are not? And the government said, whoever provided this money, that it wasn't, I quote, a matter of high public health significance. I think that's a crock. What do you think? The other issue that I came upon this evening as I was preparing for my TV show Friday has to do with banks. I got to get into this. Oh, I've got to get into this. Understand that the recession that occurred in 2008-2009 that is still with us, the primary responsibility for that recession lies with these banks. We all know that, okay? Can you tell me why, though? Not one banker has been indicted. Not one banker has gone to jail for what happened in 2008 and 2009. And we know they did a lot of wrong, no question. I mean, they had people signing documents as vice president who were hourly employees. They had people signing their names as an officer under oath that they had reviewed all the documents in this 2 or 4 inch mortgage foreclosure folder, and they were all in order, and they were signing 1,000 of these a day. It was impossible for them to read them. They did not do their due diligence and read them, and they get away with all of this. No one has been indicted, no one has been tried, no one has gone to jail for the wrongdoing, which has killed a lot of people in this country economically. Okay, I think one of the reasons why is that I got to blame Obama. My president, I love him dearly, but as with everyone else, he doesn't do everything correctly, at least not from my perspective. Obama has favored the banks since he came into office 5 years ago. When he came in, his plate was full. The banking industry was going down the tubes. There was going to be international the recession. And he brought on shock bankers, Bernanke, whatever his name was, and somebody else. And he brought in bankers in key economic positions in our government to advise him. Well, if you got the bankers doing the advising to the president, all they know is bankers. And who are they going to take care of? They took care of the bankers. We loaned all that money, gave all that money to the banks, if you recall, several years ago. It was stimulus dollars to help them along because the poor banks were in trouble. It was inferred the banks were going to loan that money out to small businesses in America and to the people of America. The banks didn't loan anything out to anybody. They invested the money on their own. made money in the market. You know, the market's gone up dramatically over the years. And they paid themselves huge bonuses. So I can't understand why we've never chased the, I understand why, but I think it's wrong. We should chase the asses of bank presidents and other officers responsible for this debacle, which occurred in 2008. Now, there's this new senator from, Senator Warren's her name, from Massachusetts. She's into this banking stuff. And before this year is on, I'm telling you, some butts are going to roast. And she's pushing for indictment. She herself said about a month ago. Why? Where? What would happen? No one's been indicted. All this money was lost. Now, let me tell you what's going on now that's going to make you, you're going to be upset. I don't care if you're a Democrat, Republican, or Tea Party. You have to be upset with what I am going to tell you. There is a British bank, HSBC. HSBC in this country it's called. It is huge. It has offices all over the United States, Mexico, all over Europe. It has banks all over the world. It's one of the biggies in the world. They have been under investigation for money laundering. You heard me, money laundering. From countries like Mexico and Colombia, they are taking drug money. They are also taking, that's the drug cartels they're taking the money from. They're also taking money from terrorist organizations and from nations that have been sanctioned. We don't do business with, in effect, like Iran, Libya, Sudan, and Burma. They're taking their money, and they're cleaning it. They put the money in one of their banks, and they invest it here, they invest it there, and it comes out clean in the end. Well, you're not supposed to. Laundering money is a crime. To clean dirty, to take dirty money, drug money is dirty money. To take dirty money and make it clean is a crime. And it's been happening in the United States, in HSBC banks in the United States. And our federal government, properly so, has had a major investigation ongoing to look into this. Let me tell you how much money's involved. $200 trillion, not million, not billion, $200 trillion. That's so many times larger than our national debt that we're concerned with. In other words, $200 trillion have gone through the banks in the United States, HSBC Bank. It was drug money, it was terrorist organization money, money Iran had to clean up, and the banks got away with it. This is over a period of years, and everybody. And a lot of the chief officers made big bonuses and everything else. It was a big deal. Okay. Now, they get caught. They get caught. The federal government's looking to prosecute. Big investigation. It was just resolved. It was just resolved this past week, the whole problem. Guess what? No one was indicted. No one was arrested. The bank entered into what is called a deferred prosecution agreement. Deferred prosecution agreement. They sign papers, the government signs, you admit you did wrong, we're going to penalize you, and nobody's going to go to jail or have to stand trial for this, okay? Now, so far, if they had to pay a lot of money, it might be all right, but I think we've got to nail people and arrest them who do wrong on a scale like this. So what was the fine? The government decided to fine them 1 month. They've been doing this for years. 1 month profit. Do you know what the profit was for 1 month? $1.9 billion. A meager sum when you're talking about $200 trillion having been laundered, okay? And the government did this. And our Attorney General holds a deal. He says, look, the banks really are too big to fail. This is Lewis's words here. But he did say they're so large, his words, that it becomes difficult to prosecute them. His words again. It becomes difficult to prosecute them because they're so big. If we went after them the way we go after other people who do money laundering, they'd be out of business. This country may be in recession. We may cause an international recession. Okay? Listen to me. If it was you or me, and we were bringing in, let's say, 1,000 pounds of marijuana on a boat into the Florida Keys here, 100, I said 1,000 pounds of pot, and we got caught. We would be arrested. Any profit or money we had from our wrongdoing would be taken, confiscated by the government, and we would go to jail. They're not going to let us get away with that. Suppose we're bringing cocaine into this country, all right? They take the cocaine, they take the profit from it, the government, and the guys involved would go to jail for a long time. But these are bankers. They were said to be too big to fail initially when the Obama administration came in, and now they're still being said to be too big, too difficult to prosecute. And we're only going to find them 1 month's profit, $1.9 billion. How wrong can this be? All right, think of all the people in jail for garbage crimes, not even having to do with money, who are spending 2 years, 5 years, 10 years in jail for non-consequential crimes compared to this laundering thing. And the bankers get away with it again. Bad, bad, bad. We're still taking care of the banks, and we can't. Someone's got to go after them. They have become an entity unto themselves. They fear no one. Bank CEOs are getting $20, $30, $40 million a year bonuses. Would you like a year-round or Christmas bonus of $30 or $40 million? That's more than most people make in 10 lifetimes, not one lifetime. So it's a very bad situation. And someone should do something about it. And no one called me but Patty. For shame, my listening friend. The number is 646-478-5731. If you don't want to call, I don't mind. I enjoy talking as long as you enjoy listening. What else did I want to talk about? Well, let me tell you something. I've only got about 3 minutes left. Let me get this in here. We live the way we live in this country. We think that everyone thinks like us. And it's a major mistake. People don't, in other parts of the world, do not think like us. They don't know what's going on. You have people in India. You have people in Mongolia. They don't have toilets. They don't have running water. They don't have electricity. And they don't know what's going on in the outside world. Anything beyond probably 300 feet is the outside world to them, all right? What am I talking about here? In India, in the suburbs, I might call them, but they're the little villages out in the country, Adolf Hitler is running for the county legislature this year. He's already been elected 3 times, Adolf Hitler. And why is that name okay there? That many people are called Adolf. Many people are called Hitler. There is a store, a men's clothing store called Hitler. There's a bookstore called Mein Kampf. These people like these big names, these popular names. They don't relate to them as we do because they don't know what these people really did. So not everyone thinks like us, knows what we know, and we have to keep that in mind when we are evaluating people and their activities. Okay, I enjoyed doing this tonight. I hope you enjoyed listening. We've got about a minute left here. I enjoy living in Key West. Keep visiting us, folks. A lot of you come down here to visit. I know. We love having you. The weather's been fantastic. A few cold days here and there, but we've generally, for 2 months, been running 80-degree-a-day weather. The people are nice. The weather is nice. We love having you, so come down and join us. March Madness is around the corner. We're into the Big East right now. I think Syracuse got a bye from yesterday and playing. They'll be playing tonight. I don't even know who they're playing. I've got to find out, try to see what's happening with the game when they get down here. I don't think Syracuse did well this year, and I don't think we're going to go too far in the big tournament. I also think we're going to be a 4-5. 4 for lucky, or maybe a 5. We're now around 19th or 20th in the country. Such is life. You can't be a great team every year. That has to be a year where you fall down. That's the show for this week. Again, thank you for joining me. Please come back next week. This is fun. I love doing it, and I hope you enjoyed listening to me and listen to my TV and watch my TV internet show. It's being broadcast Friday morning at 9 o'clock. Thank you, and good night.